Well, let's open our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 16, Deuteronomy 16. Now, Brother Jerry read to us from Exodus. Concerning the Lord's Passover. And we know that that is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ sprinkled on our hearts and putting away all defilement from our conscience that we might serve the Lord freely with a good heart. And that is the foundation of everything. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ is, as you know, the blood of the everlasting covenant of grace. It is the blood that seals that covenant to those who have interest in that covenant. Now, that's who it seals it to, those who have interest in the covenant. And it is by that blood that they have a right to the tree of life and to be the children of God and to come into the presence of God as priests of our Most High God. Amen. And that through our most holy faith, which is the gift of God. So it's the foundation. It is, our Lord said, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." If he'd have shed it for all, he'd have said, "Which is shed for all and everybody without exception or distinction." But he said, "It's shed for many." And in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, he said, "This is my blood of the New Testament. No, think not that I am come to be ministered unto. I'm not come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many." It is the blood of the everlasting covenant. And it was pictured by the blood that was put over the put upon the doorpost and over the lintel in the houses of the people of God in Egypt. They were the only ones that had the blood on the doorpost. Every other house in Egypt had death that terrible night. In every house there was death, except among the people of God, and the blood was their protection. So in the feasts of the Lord, that feast, the feast of Passover, is first. Let's do some reading this morning from the Old Testament. First from the book of Deuteronomy, and then from the book of Leviticus. And we'll see that principle held forth that it is the first and the foundation of all of the feasts. Of all of the feasts of the Lord. Now, the feast of the Lord had devolved into a feast of the Jews. Look at John 7, chapter 7, verse 2. Hold your place there in Deuteronomy and look at John 7, 2. John chapter 7, verse 2. And I'll begin reading verse 1. "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the feast, now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. It was the Jews' feast. It wasn't the Lord's feast anymore. They left the Lord out of it. And the church today, as Judaism fell into apostasy and ruin, the church today, the professing church, the realm of Christendom, those the realm of profession, has fallen into the same apostasy that Israel had. The Lord is no longer with us. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He's outside. Yeah. If any man hear my voice and open it, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. But he's outside now. He's been left out like he was with the Jews. Man's a failure any way you put him. All right, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 16. Observe the month of Abib, and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee out of Egypt by night. Now they were to eat that Passover, they were to kill the Passover and roast it with fire in the evening, and they were to eat it with their shoes upon their feet and their staff in their hand. The Lord was bringing them out, and he brought them out by night.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to imagine that that's the way it was, but he brought them out of that dark place in the night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock and of the herd in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. Thou shalt... Okay, let me just pause there for just a minute. That place where the Lord would choose to put his name there was Jerusalem. They couldn't be going to anywhere else to worship. Jerusalem was the place that God had ordained and established as the gathering place for all of his children, where he would gather his children around him. It wasn't up to them where they had worshiped the Lord. It was up to God. And he'd bring his children to him for worship. And he delighted to gather his children around him and to worship and to fellowship with them in the worship of the Lord.
Yeah.
Thou shalt eat no unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. Now leaven, as you know, represents evil. Represents the lust of the flesh and of the and of the eyes and of the pride of life, and of evil doctrine. And so there could be no leaven mixed with their food. The pure bread of life is our food, and there's no leaven in it. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the bread of life to us. And we feast and are fed and are nourished and live upon him. Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith. Even bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. Now, of course, we remember whenever we were brought out of the misery and wretchedness of a life of sin, which is typified by the walk of the children of Israel in Egypt. Their slavery their inability to save themselves, and their need of a strong deliverer to bring them out. And it's the same thing with us. We remember how it was with us that we, no matter how many times we resolve to do better and to seek to please God and all those things, we made the same failures over and over and over again, until the Lord finally brought us to the knowledge of the truth. But he says here, you shall even, he calls it the bread of affliction. Now the bread of affliction was to be to them a memorial of what Christ had to do to deliver them. To us, eating the unleavened bread, bread of affliction, it is a remembrance to us of what Christ passed through to put away, to make a final riddance of our sin. And that is, this bread of affliction is a state of mind and of heart that the Holy Spirit must produce in us when we partake of the Lord's Supper.
Yeah.
Now here they remembered this feast of Passover. They're remembering that they're coming out of Egypt. We remember our Lord's death till He come, and the bread that we take, being unpleasant to the flesh, is a reminder of to us of the afflictions, the sorrows, the troubles that He passed through, all of that, as He delivered us from sin and death. And that's something that the Holy Spirit has to produce within us. It's not natural to us. It's foreign to us. We are complacent within ourselves in nature, but this spirit, this knowledge of truth, this feeling of the sufferings, this fellowship in the sufferings of our Lord, is something that must be produced in us by God the Holy Spirit. There's so many things that we cannot accomplish in ourselves that God the Holy Spirit must accomplish in us. Now of ourselves, we're not holiness unto the Lord of ourselves, but what we are in Christ, we're holiness unto the Lord. And the heart and the mind, the devotion, the willingness that is necessary in a Christian life, and the separation of walk from the world, is something that has to be produced in us by God the Holy Spirit. We're absolutely dependent upon Him to produce all the fruits of the death of Christ in us as we walk through this world, to make us a separate people. He lives in us. He dwells in Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. And the death of Christ, seen in the death of the Passover lamb, the death of Christ is the foundation of our receiving the Holy Spirit. Look back at John chapter 7. Verse 38. He that believeth on me, John chapter 7, verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, that is, of the Holy Ghost, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Christ Jesus had to die. I must go up to Jerusalem and be crucified. Be evil in prison and be crucified and raised from the dead. He must seal the covenant with his precious blood before any of the benefits accruing to us from his blood could be given us. So the Holy Spirit dwelt with men, but now it dwells in them. His influences are continually within us because he's continually within us. And it's owing to the death that their Lord Jesus Christ accomplished as a public person for all of his members. We are all crucified with Christ. We're all dead with Christ. Dead to the law and dead to sin because of deaths of the law. Back to Deuteronomy. Verse 4. And there shall be no living bread seen within you, was seen within all thy coast 7 days, neither shall there be anything of the flesh which thou sacrificed the first day at even remain until the morning. It was to be burned with fire. Christ, the lamb, was roast with fire, and they were to eat it with bitter herbs. And both those things picture the sufferings and the sorrow that our Lord passed through in his death. Remember that what he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. He was doing absolutely the will of the Father. He was performing that which he had agreed to in eternity past. But his soul was filled with sorrow. Yeah. My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. And that's pictured by the bitter herbs and his extreme suffering, being roasted with fire. And we only enter into that by the work of the Holy Spirit impressing that in our soul.
Yeah.
And helping us to feel that and enter into the fellowship of his sufferings. Not only that, but we enter into the fellowship of his sufferings when we are reproached by this world for his name's sake. When we own the doctrine of Christ and Christ himself as our Christ and our God whom we believe, and the doctrine that we believe on him, and when we are cast off by the world as dung because we believe those very truths. And I know that you all have experienced that and will experience it again and rejoice when you're separated from this present evil world. All right, let's read on. Now, chapter 16, down through verse 7, he talks about this. And then in verse 9, he begins something else. Look at verse 9. 7 weeks shalt thou number unto thee, beginning beginning to number the 7 weeks from the time which thou beginnest to put the sickle to the corn. Now this is the Feast of Pentecost. Feast of Weeks. Seven weeks they were to number, 49 days, and then on the 50th day they would have this feast. That's a picture, as the Passover was a picture of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, is a picture of the giving of the Holy Spirit unto the church as the fruit of the sufferings and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus had to die. I must go up to Jerusalem, he said. There wasn't any ifs, ands, or maybes about it. He had to go up. It was written in the covenant. He had agreed to it in old eternity, that his blood would absolutely seal that covenant and everyone who was involved in it.
Yeah.
I must go. Well, let's look a little further. Down to verse 12, he speaks of the Feast of Weeks. And then, in verse 13, thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles. 3 great feasts. Now, Israel only celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles one time in all their history. Only once. When they came back out of Babylonian captivity, I believe it was, under Joshua. But you have here redemption, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and you have the glory. Feast of Tabernacles will be celebrated by the people of God for 1,000 years in a day yet to come. And it's coming. It's coming and it's near at hand. Now, turn back to Leviticus chapter 23. Now here you have 7 feasts. It includes the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles, but there are other feasts mixed in with it that are associated with the other feasts, with the 3 feasts that was given to us in the book of Deuteronomy. And we'll not take time to go through all of those right now, but you can read through them and you can see that there are 7, there are actually 8 feasts mentioned here, but one of them is the Sabbath, and it is a picture of the Lord's rest, and so it's not counted with the others, but there's 7 feasts mentioned here. Let's read through these. We'll go through this hurriedly, and you can see what this is. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, now, when the Lord begins to give a new group of feasts, he heads it up with this, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, and you'll notice that, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord. Now again, here, notice, it's the feasts, these are the feasts of the Lord, but they had devolved to be the feast of the Jews. God had been left out of them years ago during the time of Christ. Which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, and holy convocation, you shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So there's the Sabbath mentioned. And then there's 7 others. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in your generation. The 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. So there it is again. The first one mentioned, the foundation of all the rest. The blood that seals everything to the people of God. In the verse 5, in the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover, and on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So there's another feast, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Unto the Lord, 7 days must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days, and in the seventh day is an holy convocation, and ye shall do no servile work therein. Now that was, there was, I don't know, maybe I missed it, but I think there's two, there's actually three, there's the feast of, of the Passover, and of unleavened bread there. And is there, of course, the Sabbath, but is there another one there? There's two convocations there, one at the beginning, one at the end. And it is over a period of 8 days. Anyway, at verse 9, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give unto you, and ye shall reap the harvest there, here it is, this is it, then ye shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priests. And he shall weigh the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted of you on the morrow after the Sabbath, after this Sabbath, shall the priest weigh it. Now, this is the celebration of Christ, the first fruits of them that slept. And it was weighed before the Lord and accepted for the people of Israel. And it was a pledge, of the rest of the harvest. Look at 1 Corinthians. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterward they that are Christ that are his. So the wave sheaf that was waved before the Lord was a pledge, was of acceptance of the people, and a pledge of the remainder of the harvest, of which that wave sheaf was the first fruit. Christ was the first fruit, and then we that are his will be gathered together to the Lord when he comes to make up his jewels. All right, verse 11. So there's the Feast of Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits. And of course, our Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood is the ground and basis of all those feasts. And the meat offering thereof shall be a tenth deal of fine flour mingled with oil. That's a picture of Christ Jesus, the fine flour, and the Holy Spirit. It's the oil. An offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor, and a drink offering of wine poured fourth part of a hen. Now verse 15, and you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths. Here again is the Feast of Pentecost and the acknowledging of the giving, granting of the Holy Spirit. Now he said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. It's the Spirit of Christ. Christ in you. Christ dwelling and living in you by His Spirit. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. We are not of this world. We just are not. We are a purchased, a peculiar people, a people of His own. And He delights to dwell in our midst and fellowship with us in the things of Christ. So there's the Feast of Pentecost. Look at verse 17. Well, let's just read from verse 15. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete, even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, which is 50 days, which is where we get Pentecost. Shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord, and ye shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves of two tenths deal, and they shall be of fine flour, they shall be baken with leaven. That's a picture of us. Yeah. We are one bread and one body in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's plenty of leaven in us. God is not pleased to take away the leaven of our old evil nature from us. But He has given us the Holy Spirit to confront and conform us to His image. Amen. All right, let's move on here to verse 22. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt make not clear riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest. Neither shalt thou gather any gleanings of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor, unto the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Now, this was for Israel. There's something for the Gentiles. You don't get it all. We're the strangers. that the Lord may said, make sure you leave provision for them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. Now that blowing of the trumpets is the blowing of the gospel trumpet among the Jews. And it is an illumination of them to their inheritance in Christ. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. They will see what they will be made jealous. They will see what the Gentiles have in Christ and what they missed. And they'll see that they have crucified their Messiah. And they'll own that they crucified the Lord of glory. And they will repent. Turn to Hosea. Chapter 6. Look back at the Hosea 3, chapter 3, verse 4. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, and without an ephod, and without a teraphim. They'll have no priesthood. Afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Now turn on over to Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Now, and let's begin reading back at verse 5. Verse 15. Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. I will go and return into my place. That's Christ. I'll go and return to my place. They shall acknowledge their offense and seek my face, and in their afflictions they shall seek me early. Come and let us return unto the Lord. Now this is the voice of the people, of the remnant. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. And the third day he shall raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his goings forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the early, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Well, repentance, look at Acts Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Verse 30. Let's begin reading verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on the tree. Him hath God exalted at his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord." Well, will they follow on to know the Lord? Yeah, when the scales are removed from their eyes and when their blindness is taken away, then they'll follow on to know the Lord, and the Lord will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth that they crucified the one that God sent to them. Well, we might get back into this again sometime, Brother Bart.